بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In last week's lesson, we spoke about the importance of studying the Quran in addition to reciting it and memorizing it, and of course acting by the Quran. And in this lesson, we begin, by the permission of Allah and His help, the tafsir of Juz Amma and the first surah from the 30th Juz, which is known as Surah An-Naba. And the word An-Naba, it means news or information. And the intended meaning is news regarding Yawm Al-Qiyamah or information regarding Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Because in this surah Allah mentioned anin naba'il azim, that they question and they dispute regarding the great news, i.e. the news or the information regarding Yawm al-Qiyamah and the establishment of the hour. And this surah, it is also known as Suratu Amma, because Allah subhanahu began this surah with the word Amma. So it has two meanings or two names, either Suratu Naba' or Suratu Amma. And amma is made of two words, an and ma, meaning regarding what. And this surah, it is Makkiya, meaning it was revealed before the hijrah, whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Mecca, and it contains 40 ayat. This surah, it contains 40 ayat. And what are the general themes which Allah subhanahu discusses in this surah? Before we begin going through the surah itself, what are the general themes of this surah? So this blessed surah, like the majority of the surah which are Makkiyah, it is regarding Yawm al-Qiyamah wal-Ba'ath ba'd al-Mawt, the day of resurrection and the resurrection after death. And so this surah, it emphasizes the reality of al-ba'th ba'd al-maut, of the resurrection after death. And this is something which the Quraysh rejected and disbelieved in. They chose to reject and disbelieve in al-ba'th ba'd al-maut. And Allah subhanahu, He mentions evidences, even logical evidences, regarding al-ba'th ba'd al-maut. Because the Quraysh, they took a very secular view with regards to resurrection. Their argument was based upon logic, that how is it, once our bodies have eroded and our bones are gone and there's no more shape or form to our physical being, how is it logically, scientifically, intellectually, that we can be resurrected and we can be formed once again? And so Allah subhanahu, He replied to them in this surah with similar evidences which appeal to a person's intellect. And we will come to that inshallah. So the first theme of this surah is emphasizing the reality of al-ba'ath ba'd al-maut, the resurrection after death. And secondly, a mention of Yawm al-Qiyamah and what will occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah, i.e. the day of judgment, the day of resurrection. And also from the themes of this blessed surah is a comparison between the believers and the disbelievers and what is prepared for both of them. I.e. those wretched ones who rejected the belief in Allah and the final day, and what is the recompense for them? What will they deserve on Yawm al-Qiyamah? And then those fortunate and successful believers who believed in Allah and the final day, and they worked for the Akhirah, what is the recompense which they will be given, and a comparison between both of them. And also, from the themes of this blessed surah, is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of all people, all creation, all angels, the mulk and the izma of Allah, the dominion and the greatness of Allah subhanahu. So these 4 or 5 points, these are the main themes of this blessed surah. And so Allah subhanahu begins by saying, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ, meaning what are they questioning about? What is it that they are disputing over? عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. It is regarding the great news. And here Allah is speaking about the mushrikun, because the mushrikun, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them and informed them of at-tawheed and informed them regarding al-ba'ath ba'd al-maut, the resurrection after death, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite upon them the ayat of the Quran relating to yawm al-qiyamah, they used to dispute and they used to reject and they should talk amongst each other. ماذا يقول هذا الرجل? What's this man saying? What's this resurrection after death? We don't accept any of this. So this is what Allah is mentioning here. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. That those mushrikun, those Quraysh, to whom the ayat have been shown and recited to them, why are they questioning and disputing the final day? The great news meaning Al-Akhirah. الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. Regarding which they differ and they disagree. Meaning that the people to whom these ayat are being revealed, they're two groups. And these two groups are in conflict with each other. And they are the mu'minun and the kafirun. They differ with each other, because the people of Iman have Iman in the Quran. And the people of Iman, they have Iman in the Akhirah. And the Kafirun, they disbelieve. And they reject. They don't believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah. They don't believe in Al-Jaza, Al-Hisab, accountability, questioning, reward, punishment. They reject all of this. And then Allah subhanahu, He warns those people. He said, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. Surely, they will know. This doubt which they have, there will come a time when there will be no more doubt. And then He subhanahu, He emphasizes and He repeats once again, ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. Once again, they will come to know with certainty, and they will not dispute any longer. And so this is a warning from Allah to those people who disbelieve and reject Yawm al-Qiyamah and al-Hayat al-Ukhrawiyyah, the life of the hereafter. That one day when the punishment comes upon those people of that which they used to reject and disbelieve in, they shall surely no. And then Allah subhanahu, He mentions that He appeals to the logic of the people and the intellect of the people. That your argument, ayyuhal kafirun al-mukathibun, your argument for rejecting al-ba'ath ba'd al-maut is a secular argument. It's a logical argument. That you're saying it's not possible scientifically for that which has been eroded and buried and gone, for it to be formed once again and resurrected once again. And so Allah subhanahu replies to them with similar arguments. to appeal to the logic of the people. And the summary of the argument is that the one Allah who was able to create this thing out of absence, the same Allah, can he not resurrect that thing? Meaning, what's more difficult upon a person? To bring something out of absence into existence, or to merely reshape existence once again? The first is more difficult, and everything is easy upon Allah. So the point is, and this is a good argument for any person who has this type of doubt. For example, if a person says that you Muslims, you believe that the sun will rise from the west on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this isn't correct. It's a metaphorical meaning. This isn't something which is physical. The reply to them is that He, Allah, who created the sun in the first place from nothing, and He set it in motion by causing it to rise from the east, is it not even easier upon Him to cause it to rise from the west? So even logically, this makes sense. And again, with regards to the humans, the one who fashioned the humans in the first place and created them from nothing and brought them into existence from absence, the same one who did that, is he not able to merely resurrect them once again? This is even more easy, and everything is easy upon Allah. So this is the crux of the argument or the appeal to them. So Allah subhanahu, He mentions aspects of creation which He created. Why does He mention creation? To show them that the one who created this creation in the first place, it's even more easier for Him to resurrect this creation. So He said, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا, that did we not make this earth mihada, meaning a resting place or something which is plain and easy for you to traverse upon and work upon and earn your livelihood from and sow and harvest in? Did we not create this earth? And the question here isn't an empty question, rather it has a point. That all you who say that Allah cannot resurrect what is upon the earth, but He's the one who created the earth in the first place. And if He can create the earth from nothing and make it plain and easy for you, then He's the same one who can resurrect the people upon this earth. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ, and did He not place these mountains as pegs, stable, they don't move? وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, and did He not create you or humans in pairs, meaning men and women, male and female, humans, so you can live with each other and you are appropriate for each other, and you can also enjoy each other in terms of marriage and nikah and love and compassion, and you can look after each other and complement each other. Allah made us males and females, men and women, with different, not similar, different skills and abilities and strengths and weaknesses and emotions and psychology and physiology. So we complement each other. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا, and did we not make your sleep as a means of rest for you, so you can sleep and recover the next day in order to work once again? وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا, and did we not make the night as a covering for you when everything becomes dark and it covers the earth like a blanket? And now because everything is dark, you're able to rest and sleep. So Allah subhanahu, He linked the night to sleep and the day to movement. So the night covers everything, and therefore that environment is perfect for us to rest and sleep. And then when the night disappears and the day comes, there is movement once again. And everything is clear for us in order to work in the day. So he said, وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. And did we not make the daytime as a time of earning and living and moving? And this shows us that the night time is a time of sleep and rest, and of course, turning to Allah in obedience. And the daytime is a time of working and striving and not being lazy. He said, وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا. And we built over you seven heavens. وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا. And we placed above you this bright shining lamp, meaning the sun. And this sun that Allah has created in the first place, it contains many benefits. It keeps you warm and illuminated. And Allah subhanahu has kept this earth at the perfect distance from the sun. Because those planets which are closer to the sun, they're too hot for anything to live. And those planets which are further away from the sun than the earth, they're too cold and nothing grows. And so from the blessings of Allah and the wisdom of Allah, that this earth has been placed in the perfect distance for the sun to warm it up just enough for things to grow. And not too far or not too near for it to burn. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا. And do we not send down from the clouds, which are driven by the winds and pushed by the winds, مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا. We send down water, i.e. rain, and it pours down. Why? لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا. In order for us to give growth to two things, حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا. حَبًّا, i.e. grains, like wheat and barley and rice, grains. وَنَبَاتًا, plants, fruit, vegetation. وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا, and also fields and gardens of growth which is dense, meaning a lot of shrubbery and a lot of growth. And all of this, it grows by the permission of Allah from that blessed water which He sends down from the clouds which He has created, driven by the winds which He orders for them to send the clouds wherever they are to be sent. So all of these aspects of creation, why were they mentioned? To reply to the Quraysh and to reply to every secular-minded person who rejects the resurrection, because as I mentioned, you see, like Allah mentions in the ayat in the Quran, you see a land which is barren and it is dead and there's no movement and there's no growth. And then Allah subhanahu sends down the rain, and then that same land or that same area which is barren and dry and dead with no movement and no growth, it comes to life again. And just as Allah is able to do that, then similarly and easily He's able to resurrect those who have died. So everything which has preceded us so far are intellectual arguments against the secular minded people, that the one who is able to create something out of absence, He's easily able to resurrect. There's no argument for you to have. And then after this, He speaks about Yawm al-Qiyamah. He said, Inna Yawm al-Fasli kana miqata. That indeed, al-Yawm, the day, meaning the day of al-Fasl, Yawm al-Fasl. And so this is one of the names of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Yawm al-Fasl. And al-Fasl, it means separation and segregation. Because on that day, people will be separated and people will be segregated in their groups. The disbelievers amongst the disbelievers and the believers amongst the believers. And that day, kana miqata. It has been appointed already. Its time has already been written. It cannot be delayed, and neither can it be brought earlier. However, nobody knows the time of Yawm al-Qiyamah except Allah subhanahu. Neither an angel like Jibreel alayhi salam, neither a great messenger like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nobody knows of the timing of this day, this great day, except Allah subhanahu. And notice the link between this ayah and all the other ayat, the ayat which came before. All of them were arguments and informing the people about the creation of Allah, asking people questions. Alam, alam. Did we not? Did we not? And then the conclusion of this, inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata. That the one who created everything will once resurrect everything and resurrect the human beings. And that day of resurrection, in which people will be separated and segregated, that has already been appointed. And now Allah subhanahu, He speaks about Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the next few ayat, He speaks about that day. How will that day be established? He said, Yawma yunfakhu fi sur. That on that day, or that day will be established when the sur, i.e. the trumpets or the horns, are blown into. Fata'tuna afwaja. And then people will come in their crowds. And yawma yunfakhu fi sur, the trumpets that will be blown, there'll be one trumpet which is blown for everything which is living to die. And then there will be a second trumpet which is blown for everything, every human being and every jinn, from the first to the last, to be resurrected once again. And some of the athar mention that between the two blowing of the trumpets is a period of 40. A generation of Abu Huraira radiallahu an, he said, "Ma bayna nafkhatayni arba'in." The between the blowing, the two blowings of the trumpet, are 40. And he was asked, "Arba'ina yawman," and he remained silent. "Arba'ina shahran," 40 days he remained silent. 40 months he remained silent. 40 years he remained silent. But it will be 40. And people will come in they, people will come forth afwaja, like waves of people after people after people. And as for the sky which is above us, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءِ, the sky above us, it will be opened. فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا, and it will be gates and doors. And some of the Mufassirun, they mention that the sky above us on that day will be gates and doors for the angels to descend, because the angels will descend upon the earth on that day. And they will descend through the doors or the gates which are opened in the skies or the heavens. And as for the mountains, وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالِ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. And as for the mountains, all of them will be removed. Everything will be flattened. And it will be saraba, like a mere mirage, meaning they don't exist anymore. And then, after mentioning the events on Yawm al-Qiyamah, what will happen to the people, and the trumpets, and the mountains, and the sky, and the doors, and the angels coming, and so on and so forth, then Allah subhanahu, He compares between the recompense of those who disbelieved and the recompense of those who believed. He said, "Inna jahannama kanat mirsada." that Jahannam, may Allah protect each and every one of us from that punishment and forgive our sins, it is lying in wait. Lying in wait for who? For those people who rejected it. So that fire has already been created and already been fueled. And Allah has prepared that fire for who? In the next ayah, لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. That this fire, may Allah protect us, it is for the tughat, i.e. the oppressors and the transgressors, those the people of evil, those who rejected al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir. And it will be ma'aba, that this will be their abode. This is where they will go. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا. لَابِثِينَ أَيْ مَاكِثِينَ. Meaning they will remain in it. أَحْقَابَ. And the word أَحْقَابَ, this is the plural of الحقب. And الحقب, the Mufassirun said, مُدَّ مِنَ الزَّمَانِ. That it is an amount of time, a period in time. And they differed, how much will that time be? Except that it will be endless. And the majority of the Mufassirun mentioned that it will be periods of 80 years. But not the 80 years of the dunya, rather 80 years of the akhirah. And so it seems, wallahu a'lam, that those people remain in the fire for eternity. They will remain for eternity, however, in periods of 80 years, meaning 80 years, and then 80 years, and then 80 years, and then 80 years for eternity. And what will be their drink when they are there? Because they will be thirsty and they will be anguished from the heat. He said, Subhana la yadhuquna fiha bardan wala sharaba. That they will not taste any coolness, meaning any coolness from the heat, the severe heat of the fire. Wala sharaba, and neither will they have any drink which will quench their thirst. So their bodies will be burning, and there'll be no coolness for their bodies and their hearts to feel respite. And also they'll be feeling thirst, wala sharaba, and there'll be no drink, no water which will quench their thirst. However, there will be something for them to drink. And what is it that they will drink? He said, illa hamiman wa ghassaqa. Two types of drinks. The first is al-hamim. And al-hamim is that which is boiling. And this boiling liquid which they will be given, this will increase their punishment on top of their punishment. Na'udhu billah. And also ghassaqa. And ghassaqa, the Mufassirun mention that this is a combination of yani every filthy discharge. Every filthy discharge from the skin and the sweat and the blood, that this will be the drink of those people. فَهُوَ عَذَابٌ فَوْقَ الْعَذَابِ. And so it is punishment upon punishment upon punishment. أَحْقَابَ, in periods of 80 years after 80 years after 80 years. لَنْ قِطَاعَ لَهَا. And there is no end or no limit to the periods of 80 years. And all of this, جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا. All of this is an appropriate recompense, punishment for those people. Meaning that Allah does not oppress them through this punishment. Rather, this is what they are deserving due to their own statements and their own actions. So it is not oppression from Allah, hasha lillah. Rather, jaza'un wifaqa. Rather, it is what they deserve due to their own statements and due to their own actions. Because they themselves, firstly, rejected al-akhirah. And they themselves rejected hisab and jaza. And so they did not care about oppression and justice, and they did not care between good and evil, and they did not care between righteous actions and sins. They did not care between tawheed and shirk and kufr, and they did not work for that akhirah. And therefore, all of this which Allah has described, there's no dhulm upon them. Jaza'un wifaqa. It is a recompense which is appropriate to their actions and their beliefs and their statements. And then Allah subhanahu mentions, after this, their actions which led to them deserving of this punishment. Why did they deserve this punishment, and why is it appropriate for them? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. Because they never used to expect any hisab, any accountability, any reckoning. And neither did they work towards it. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. Rather, they denied our ayat, and they rejected our ayat, even though Allah subhanahu presented the arguments previously and the evidences, and also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent to them, and the greatest miracle, the Quran, was revealed to them. But and they knew the truth inside them, but they were stubborn and arrogant, like atheists are, stubbornly arrogant, and so they rejected. And Allah subhanahu emphasizes how emphatic their denial was. He did not merely say وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, that they denied our ayat. He then emphasized it وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. And so this is ta'keed, this is an emphasis, that they were stubborn and arrogant and emphatic in their denial. And not only did they deny, but then they fought against this. There's one thing for a person himself to deny and say, I do not accept. And then worse than this is to not accept and then to fight against it, and to try to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu. So this was clear takdhib al-mu'anada, clear denial, clear rejection, clear kufr, based upon stubborn arrogance. And also, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا in the next ayah. And Allah subhanahu said that everything which they used to say and everything which they did, all of it, كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, all of it, we recorded and we enumerated in writing. Either angels, they should record everything, however little or lot, whatever good or evil that they did, everything was recorded. And why does Allah subhanahu mention this? To establish His justice. That you are not being punished, ayyuhal kafirun al mukaththibun, for something which you did not do. Rather, you are being punished for that which you used to say and you used to do. And if you want a record of what you used to do, which you are deserving of this punishment, here is the record. Everything was written, which you cannot deny today. And therefore, it will be said to them, فَذُوقُوا أَيُّهَا النَّارِ أَيَّ أَهْلَ النَّارِ الْمُكَذِّبُونَ الْكَافِرُونَ فَذُوقُوا. It will be said to them, so now taste. Meaning taste what you have earned. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. There'll be no respite for you. Rather, there'll only be an increase of punishment upon punishment upon punishment. And Shaykh Sa'di rahimullah, in this ayah, in which Allah said, فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا أَيْ يُقَالُ لِأَهْلِ النَّارِ. That it will be said to the people of the fire, ذُوقُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ فِيهِ. Taste what you are in now. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابٌ مِنْ جِنْسِ. We will only increase you in your punishment from the same types of punishment. As Sa'di said, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أَشَدُّ الْآيَاتِ فِي شِدَّةِ عَذَابِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ أَجَارَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا. He said that this ayah is from the most severe ayat mentioning the punishment of the fire. May Allah protect us from it. These are the words of As-Sa'di. And then after Allah subhanahu mentioned the state of the people of the fire and their recompense for what they used to do and they were deserving of, then he subhanahu mentions and compares it with As-Su'ada, with those who are successful and fortunate and guided to Al-Iman, and the reward which Allah will give them, and how He will honor them. May Allah make us from those people. He said, "Inna lil-muttaqina mafaza." As for the people of At-Taqwa, the pious, the righteous, the believers, the Muslims, the people of At-Tawheed, for them is mafaza, a great foes, a great success, and a great attainment. Those people who feared the punishment of Allah, and they believed in the Akhirah, and they walked and they worked towards the Akhirah, for those people, i.e. the people of Taqwa, there's a great success and a great reward. And then he details some of the reward which they will have. So what will their reward contain? Some of it. He said, Hada'iq wa a'naba, that they will have gardens, meaning gardens which are lush and green, containing whatever they desire. Wa a'naba, and also vineyards, and containing grapes and other fruits which are similar to this. And the Mufassirun said, wa khassal a'nab li sharafiha. And Allah mentions the grapes specifically due to the greatness of the grapes. وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. You invited the children. Now how do you want me to translate? وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. Full-breasted companions of equal age. The Mufassirun mention yani details, but it's difficult to do so. Ala kulli hal, from the things that they mention, wal atrab, meaning all of the women at that time, they will be of a similar age. And that age, as is mentioned, some of the narrations, will be 33 years old, which is the peak of a person's youth. Also, wa ka'san dihaqa, and from their rewards will be cups. And cups which are full and brimming of what? Of a drink which is not intoxicating, neither is it harmful in the Akhirah. And the translation, the word which is used is wine. However, that wine of the Akhirah is not like the wine of the dunya. Because the wine of the dunya harms, the wine of the Akhirah does not harm. The wine of the dunya intoxicates, the wine of the akhirah does not intoxicate. So it's only a similarity in wording. And this is a general principle in the Quran. In various ayat, Allah subhanahu mentions honey, He mentions water, He mentions milk, He mentions wine, He mentions grapes and pomegranates and many other things. And this is only a resemblance in wording, not in reality. And why does Allah mention this wording? To give us some understanding and some concept. Meaning, if Allah subhanahu mentioned words for reward that we'd never heard of, and we never imagined, we don't have anything similar to it in this dunya, none of us would understand what that means. Because it's all from Al-Ghayb. And so Allah subhanahu mentions throughout the Quran some things that we also have. The wording is similar for us to understand and have some concept. But as for the reality, it is completely different. So imagine, for example, a person in the desert, thirsty, and then he tastes grapes. And these grapes are sweet and juicy. And how much delight you would taste from those grapes. just for in order for us to conceptualize some form of reward, Allah mentions a similar wording, inab, a'nab. But as for the reality, the haqiqah of the a'nab of the akhirah and the a'nab of the dunya, there is no comparison. So it's only a resemblance in wording, but not in haqiqah. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا. And in Jannah, the people of Taqwa, Al-Muttaqoon, they will not hear any speech which is al-lagu. And al-lagu is any idle speech which has no benefit, like gossiping and rumor mongering, no benefit to it. Rather, it will only be sweet words. And similarly, kidhaba, no lying, no sinning, no oppression, no swearing, none of this in Jannah. Why? Because Jannah is Dar Salam. Jannah is the place of safety and security. Dar al Khuld, the abode of eternity. Dar al Na'im, of complete and eternal happiness and delight. May Allah make us from those people. And therefore, there's never mind harming with actions, even speech. Never mind insults, even idle speech. It will not exist. And as a principle in the Quran, sometimes Allah subhanahu, He negates a smaller thing in order to negate a greater thing, min babi awla. Meaning, if there is no laghu, if there is no idle speech in Jannah, and this is, yani idle speech is not harmful. It's just, it has no benefit, but it has no harm either. And this has been negated. And so if that speech which contains no harm nor any benefit is negated, then anything which is greater and more sinful, min babi awla, it has been negated. So if a laghu is negated, then swearing, min babi awla, is negated. And gossiping and lying and backbiting and slander, all of that is negated. Because the lesser form has already been negated. And also, this reward, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. And also, this reward is an appropriate reward. Just like the punishment of Jahannam was appropriate for the actions of the people who are in Jahannam, then also this reward, it is appropriate for the actions of the people of At-Taqwa. However, this reward is due to the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people will not enter into Jannah due to their own actions. Rather, people will enter into Jannah due to the rahmah and the fadl of Allah subhanahu. Because any action that we do today, it's not that great to be rewarded with Jannah. Yani, for example, take the khamsa salawat, the 5 daily prayers. And this is the greatest action in our religion. Just the 5 daily prayers, what is it? Each one takes maybe 10 minutes. It's mainly sujood and ruku and reciting and standing and sitting. And a person doesn't even break sweat when a person prays the 5 salawat. Is this such a simple action deserving of that great reward of Jannah? No, it's not equal. So therefore, what enters a person into Jannah? Not the simple action that a person did, rather the fadl and the virtue and the kindness and the mercy of Allah to magnify these simple righteous actions such that the reward is Jannah. And Allah said, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ, that this reward, it is from your Lord, meaning from the fadl of your Lord and the kindness of your Lord and the mercy of your Lord. And this is like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, لا يدخل أحد الجنة من عمله. That nobody enters into Jannah due to his own actions. Rather, it is due to the mercy of Allah that He magnifies your actions. And He causes them to increase and grow. And then He rewards you with Jannah. And then, finally, He subhanah, He ends this blessed surah by mentioning His greatness and how everything in front of Him is worthless. Worthless meaning weak compared to Allah subhanahu. weak compared to Allah subhanahu, not worthless, but weak compared to Allah subhanahu. Why? Because he is Rabbis samawati wal ardu wa ma baynahuma. Because he is the Lord, I the creator of the heavens and the earth. Wa ma baynahuma, everything which they contain. And he is Ar-Rahman, the one who bestows mercy. La yamlikuna minhu khitaba. And everybody in front of Allah is so weak that on that day, nobody, without exception, nobody will even be able to speak except by his permission. Everybody, even the angels, even the prophets, even the scholars, even Jibreel alayhi salam, everybody will remain silent on that day. Because in front of Allah, we are all weak. From the greatest of creation, everything is weak in front of Allah. And so on that day, it will be so scary and Allah's greatness will be shown so much and demonstrated. لا يملكون منه خطابا. That nobody will dare even speak. يوم يقوم الروح. And then a ruh will arise. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ الصَّفَّةُ. And also the angels, they will appear in rows. And the angels will appear in rows, يعني خُضُوعًا لِلَّهِ, in complete humility and submission and in awe of the greatness and the qudra of Allah subhanahu. لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ. And nobody will speak. Ar-Ruh, they said, this is Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. He will not speak on that day. He will not have, يعني, he will not dare to speak on that day in front of Allah subhanahu. And also the other angels who are less than him. And some of the Mufassirun said the meaning of Ar-Ruh, ay banu Adam. So the humans will arise and the angels will arise. And no human, no angel from the best will be able to speak in front of Allah, except with two conditions. And the two conditions are, إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ, except for the one whom the Most Merciful gives permission to. And then, وَقَالَ صَوَابًا, and he will only speak the truth. So there are two conditions for anybody to even dare to speak on that day. And the two conditions are, firstly, Allah has to give permission, al-idhn, permit that person or that angel to speak. And secondly, that person will only speak the truth. And then Allah subhanahu ends this ayah by reminding us of what we have to do. And Allah has, in the previous ayat, Allah has mentioned evidences that this day will and can occur. And he mentioned what will occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And he mentioned and he compared between the recompense of the disbelievers and the recompense of the believers. And then he mentioned his greatness, that nobody will dare to speak in front of him without his permission. And then the last ayat of this surah, the last two ayat of this surah, he speaks about what our responsibility is. He said, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ, that day, it is the ultimate day that will occur with certainty and al-yaqeen. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. And therefore, he who wills, let him take a refuge with his Lord. Meaning, because that day is the truth, then do righteous actions. So the occurrence of that day, that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have to do anything for that day to occur. So therefore, what is upon us? To do righteous actions. He said, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. And we have warned you of a punishment which is qareeb, imminent and near. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ آتٍ آت. Because everything which will come, it will come. And it is near. And on that day, يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. And on that day, each person will only look forward towards what his own two hands have earned, i.e. the good actions which a person did by the fadl of Allah and the sins which a person committed. As for the Muslim the one who died upon Tawheed, he will have hope in the mercy of Allah. And he will have hope in the forgiveness of Allah. Such that even the sins that that person did, by the mercy of Allah and the fadl of Allah, those sins will be forgiven. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ However, the disbeliever, the one who died upon ashirk and al-kufr, what will he say? يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا He will say, if only I was dust. If only I was an animal. If only I was destroyed. Because this punishment, it is never ending. Every time that 80 years period comes to an end, and I think I'm now going to get some respite, that 80 years, it starts again. And so this surah has many benefits for us to take. First of them is al-imanu billah wal-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir. Having firm iman in Allah and having firm iman in the hereafter. And also the general principle to those people who deny al-ba'ath, that Allah is the one who created everything out of absence, and it's even easier upon him to merely resurrect that which he has already created, and everything is easy upon Allah. And also that we believe in al-hisab, in accountability. And there are people, the tughat, those who are corrupt and they transgress and they oppress, they may escape punishment in this life. Many of the tughat, they die in their palaces. And nobody can approach them for any type of revenge or any type of justice. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, there is no respite or escaping the punishment. And also, the comparison between the recompense of those who disbelieved and the recompense of the people of at-taqwa. And also, and finally, the obligation which is upon us. That those who have iman in Allah and the final day, they have to then work for the final day. So only having iman in the akhirah is not sufficient. Rather, you have to have iman in the akhirah and then you have to work towards the akhirah. And how can the life and the actions of those who have no iman in the akhirah, how can it be similar and equal to those who have iman in the akhirah? If your iman differs from those people, then your actions and your life has to also differ from those people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq and al-hidayah, and He guides us to implementing that which we learn. We ask Allah subhanahu for His mercy and His forgiveness on that day, on that great day. We ask Allah to make us from the people of taqwa and the people of Jannah, and that He forgives our sins and our shortcomings. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وجزاكم الله خيرا.